content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you. The Blind Post has the Eyes on Success podcasts listing. The ACB Lists has a survey on banking accessibility. And the NFB has an article on what the Consolidated Appropriations Act means for the blind and visually impaired. There's an article on the web about iPhones and user interface features for blind and visually impaired. And Accessible Pharmacy and Be My Eyes team up. I think I might have read that in October, but I'm going to read it again. And I hope I have time to read some more from the Cool Blind Tech. Let's get started. Eyes on Success Shows and Podcasts, Episode 2045, Music Lessons by Ear, aired November 4th, 2020. Have you ever wanted to play a musical instrument but never got around to it? No matter how well you see, it can be done. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Bill Brown, founder of Music for the Blind, about the wide range of audio courses he offers for many instruments based on playing by ear. Lessons are available either to download or on CD. Episode 2046, Card Mechanic, aired November 11th, 2020. Close-up Magician of the Year Award winner Richard Turner can do things with a deck of cards that you would think are impossible, even if you could see them. Well, he can't see them either. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Richard about how, despite his lack of vision, he works the cards and amazes audiences with his skills as a professional card mechanic. As usual, the audio, show notes, and much more can be found at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. Listeners can subscribe to the podcast wherever they find their podcasts or listen to their smart home device by saying, "Play the Eyes on Success podcast." Financial Institutions and Accessibility, Persons with Disability Survey 2020. The Global Initiative for Inclusive Information and Communication Technologies, G3ICT, and the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, IAAP, invite you to participate in a survey to learn how persons with disabilities are impacted by financial institution services. The purpose of this survey is to evaluate the maturity level of financial institutions regarding accessibility services for aging persons and persons with disabilities. This survey also seeks to identify whether and how the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020 has impacted financial accessibility for persons with disabilities. Survey details. In order to gain an accurate snapshot of the view of accessibility services in the financial institution landscape, it is imperative that we only receive responses from individuals who identify as being a person with a disability. The survey is organized into 6 sections and should take less than 25 minutes to complete. There's no compensation for participating in this survey. Take the survey at https://accessibilityassociation.forms.stack.com/forms/financial_institutions_and_accessibility_pwd_survey_2020_en. We appreciate your participation. Thank you. Signed, Luann Blake, J.D., Director of Research Programs, Blindness Initiatives, 200 East Wells Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Telephone 410-659-9314, extension 2221. Email lblake@nfb.org. From techcrunch.com, iPhones can now automatically recognize and label buttons and user interface features for blind users. Posted 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, December 3, 2020. Apple has always gone out of its way to build features for users with disabilities, and VoiceOver on iOS is an invaluable tool for anyone with a vision impairment, assuming every element of the interface has been manually labeled. But the company just unveiled a brand new feature that uses machine learning to identify and label every button, slider, and tab automatically. Screen recognition, available now on iOS 14, is a computer vision system that has been trained on thousands of images of apps in use, learning what a button looks like, what icons mean, and so on. Such systems are very flexible, depending on the data you give them. They can become an expert at spotting cats, facial expressions, or, as in this case, the different parts of a user interface. The result is that in any app now, users can invoke the feature, and a fraction of a second later, every item on the screen will be labeled. And by every, they mean every. After all, screen readers need to be aware of everything that a sighted user would see and be able to interact with, from images, which iOS has been able to create one-sentence summaries of for some time, to common icons, home, back, and context-specific ones like menus that appear just about everywhere. The idea is not to take manual labeling obsolete. Developers know best how to label their own apps, but updates, changing standards, and challenging situations, in-game interfaces, for instance, can lead to things not being as accessible as they could be. I chatted with Chris Fleizach, F-L-E-I-Z-A-C-H, from Apple's iOS accessibility engineering team, and Jeff Bigham, B-I-G-H-A-M, from the AIML accessibility team, about the origin of this extremely helpful new feature. It's described in a paper due to be presented next year. We looked for areas where we can make inroads on accessibility, like image descriptions, said Fleizach. In iOS 13, we labeled icons automatically. Screen recognition takes it another step forward. We can look at the pixels on screen and identify the hierarchy of objects you can interact with. And all of this happens on device within tenths of a second. The idea is not a new one, exactly. Bigham mentioned a screen reader, Outspoken, which years ago attempted to use pixel-level data to identify UI elements. But while that system needed precise matches, the fuzzy logic of machine learning systems and the speed of iPhone's built-in AI accelerators means that screen recognition is much more flexible and powerful. It wouldn't have been possible just a couple of years ago. The state of machine learning and the lack of a dedicated unit for executing it meant that something like this would have been extremely taxing on the system, taking much longer and probably draining the battery all the while. But once this kind of system seemed possible, the team got to work prototyping it with the help of their dedicated accessibility staff and testing community. VoiceOver has been the standard bearer for vision accessibility for so long. If you look at the steps in development for screen recognition, it was grounded in collaboration across teams. Accessibility throughout, our partners in data collection and annotation, AI, ML, and of course, design. We did this to make sure that our machine learning development continued to push forward an excellent user experience, said Bingham. It was done by taking thousands of screenshots of popular apps and games, then manually labeling them as one of several standard UI elements. This labeled data was fed to the machine learning system, which soon became proficient at picking out those same elements on its own. It's not as simple as it sounds. As humans, we've gotten quite good at understanding the intention of a particular graphic or bit of text, and so often we can navigate even abstract or creatively designed interfaces. It's not nearly as clear to a machine learning model, and the team had to work with it to create a complex set of rules and hierarchies that ensure the resulting screen reader interpretation makes sense. The new capability should help make millions of apps more accessible, or just accessible at all, to users with vision impairments. You can turn it on by going to Accessibility Settings, then VoiceOver Recognition, where you can turn on and off image, screen, and text recognition. It would not be trivial to bring screen recognition over to other platforms, like the Mac, so don't get your hopes up for that just yet. But the principle is sound, though the model itself is not generalizable to desktop apps, which are very different from mobile ones. Perhaps others will take on that task. The prospect of AI-driven accessibility features is only just beginning to be realized. TechCrunch editor-in-chief Matthew Panzerino recently chatted with Apple's Chris Fleizach, accessibility engineering lead for iOS, and Sarah Herlinger, senior director of global accessibility policy and initiatives. See that interview at a link to a video on the website. There is also a hot link to a video released by Apple on how to navigate with VoiceOver in that same article. I read the following article, November 17th, but it bears repeating because it's very important and very accessible. Accessible Pharmacy partners with Be My Eyes for Blind Patients. Written by Andy on accessiblepharmacy.com, November 8th. Two blind-founded companies are teaming up to assist blind and low-vision consumers with medication support, COVID testing, and more, by Will Butler. Look around the pharmacy and what do you see? Small print labels, identical pill bottles, and inaccessible interfaces abound. And in the time of COVID, where drive-up testing and social distancing is the norm, blind and low-vision people have found themselves struggling more than ever to feel healthy and informed. That's why, starting November 9th, Be My Eyes welcomed our first partner pharmacy onto our app. Our users in the United States will be able to ask their questions about medicine, drug interactions, and starting in December, even order in-home COVID tests from trained professionals who know how to safely and effectively set up blind individuals for success. We're thrilled to welcome the newest specialized help partner, Accessible Pharmacy Services, to the Be My Eyes community. Below, you can find out more about how and why this partnership came together and the story behind how Accessible Pharmacy was founded. COVID hits hard, and two blind-founded companies team up to help. What if we start exhibiting symptoms of COVID? How do we go through the drive-through testing sites in an ethical way? Stacy Cervenka, Director of Public Policy at the American Foundation for the Blind, outlined the many new challenges facing blind people for Bloomberg this spring. We could use a ride-sharing service. You could call a family, friend, or neighbor, but then you're putting them in danger. As the pandemic progressed, COVID-19 has only continued to expose the weaknesses in access and inclusion for individuals with visual impairments in getting their most basic needs met. From ABC to the BBC, the travails of being blind during a pandemic have been well documented and speculated upon by outside observers. But who has actually offered solutions? That's why, like most great breakthroughs, it took entrepreneurs with lived experience to come up with new channels for our community to adapt. At Be My Eyes, we believe companies and products are truly special when they're designed by those who actually need and use them. You probably know the story of Hans Jürgen, the blind craftsman who conceived of Be My Eyes in Denmark in 2012. But you might not know the story of Alex Cohen, the blind man behind Accessible Pharmacy. How Accessible Pharmacy got its start. When Alex Cohen was pursuing his PhD in marketing with the goal of becoming a college professor, his dissertation research dealt with examining the accessibility of both the online and physical marketplace and how they could be made more inclusive for the blind and low-vision community. After achieving his doctorate, he continued his research in this area and repeatedly uncovered both practical and philosophical obstacles to implementing these solutions. Importantly, through his research and own lived experience, he discovered that these accessibility-related shortcomings were particularly apparent in pharmacies. Yes, accessibility and inclusion is important in all aspects of the retailing marketplace, but when you're dealing with healthcare-related services and medication management, the importance grows exponentially. Deciding that continued efforts trying to make the existing pharmacy marketplace more accessible was far too exhausting, Cohen came together with his business partners to create a brand new marketplace specially made for the blind and low vision community. They wanted to create a community where high quality medication management services are individually crafted to meet the unique needs of every patient, and where accessibility and inclusion are never an afterthought. This is how Accessible Pharmacy Services came to be a reality. In 2020, Accessible Pharmacy launched as a comprehensive home delivery pharmacy service specializing in the needs of people who are blind or have low vision. Founded by blind and sighted experts in the areas of accessibility, technology, and medicine, Accessible Pharmacy is the only provider of its kind. Accessible Pharmacy offers free home delivery of prescription medication, over-the-counter medication, Accessible Pharmacy brand vitamins, supplements, small home medical devices, and COVID home tests. Furthermore, they offer more than 10 different types of accessible packaging, including ScriptTalk, so you can find the packaging that suits you best at no further cost. Picture the full pharmacy experience, specifically designed by and for those who are blind or low vision. Accessible Pharmacy's team is available for blind and low vision Be My Eyes users in the U.S. You don't even have to be an Accessible Pharmacy patient. Accessible Pharmacy can answer any questions you might have related to medicines, vitamins, and supplements, as well as guide you through the services they offer and your home COVID-19 test. Making a call to Accessible Pharmacy through Be My Eyes is easy. Just open the Be My Eyes app, enter the specialized help menu, and locate Accessible Pharmacy in the personal health category. The Accessible Pharmacy team is ready to take your call Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Here's the rest of the article I began to read last week on the use of mice to develop insulin-producing islet cells to cure diabetes. The lead researcher on the project, Dr. James Shapiro, told CTV News Edmonton that his team at the University of Alberta was able to collaborate with experts from around the world to turn a patient's own blood into insulin-producing islet cells. So now we're at the point where we can reliably manufacture insulin-producing cells from patients' blood who have type 1 or type 2 diabetes, and we have been doing this now for the last several months in the lab, he said. Putting these cells into diabetic mice and reversing diabetes to the point where essentially their diabetes is cured. 20 years ago, the same Dr. Shapiro made medical history with the Edmonton Protocol, a procedure that gives patients new insulin-producing cells thanks to islet transplants from organ donors. That procedure, though, necessitates the use of powerful anti-rejection medications, which carry significant side effects. Dr. Shapiro says this new stem cell process would eliminate that problem. If they're their own cells, patients won't reject them, he said. According to Dr. Shapiro, more testing will be needed before his team can move into trials from animals to people. There needs to be preliminary data and ideally a handful of patients that would demonstrate to the world that this is possible and that it's safe and effective. More money is also needed in order to purchase equipment for the research, he said. The lead researcher says lack of funding is a major research hurdle. That's why a small group of volunteers is aiming to raise $22 million by 2022 to fund further research with Diabetes Research Institute Foundation Canada. Dr. Shapiro hopes the financial help will allow him to prove to government that the science works. According to the World Health Organization, there are roughly 422 million people living with diabetes globally, with 1.6 million deaths directly attributed to diabetes each year. Files in the article were from Canada TV News Edmonton's Carmen Liebel, L-E-I-B-E-L. CoolBlindTech.com has an article posted December 21st, 2020. Touchpad Pro Assistive Technology has developed the Braille Doodle. Touchpad Pro Assistive Technology, TPPAT, has developed the Braille Doodle, a simple high-quality device made with plastics, springs, and magnets. The device focuses on tactile art, Braille literacy, technology, and expanding inclusive opportunities. The company wants to create devices that will change the landscape of assistive technology for the blind, deafblind, and low-vision community. Daniel Lubiner is the founder and CEO of TPPAT. He is an art teacher for students ages 5 through 21 who are blind or have low vision in the Bronx at the New York Institute of Special Education. 190 years old this year, it is one of the oldest schools for the blind in the United States. What is the Braille Doodle? The Braille Doodle is a device about an iPad size, only it is made in hard, dark blue plastic. There's an array of hundreds of holes placed tightly together that covers the surface. Each hole contains a tiny element that can be pulled to the surface by a magnetic stylus and locked into place to create a touchable effect. The user erases a creation by pushing the elements back down with a satisfying pop. How is the company funding the project? The company has launched an Indiegogo to kickstart their first product. It will run for 24 more days. That was at the beginning of the month. How much will it cost? The Braille Doodle is an inexpensive and high-quality device for creating touchable drawings, teaching Braille even when remote learning, and practicing Braille. With its estimated retail price of approximately $65, it is already the cause for much excitement. There's a link to the Indiegogo campaign on coolblindtech.com. Also posted December 21st on coolblindtech.com, Netflix now features audio-only mode on Android. Netflix rolling out audio-only mode to the Android app. Netflix has been adding many features recently into its Android app. The service got variable playback speeds and a screen lock feature this year, and now it looks like we're in for an audio-only background playback. It could help you save some precious mobile data or leave your phone in your pocket while you're keeping up with your favorite series. The feature is now available to subscribers as part of a server-side rollout in version 7.84.1, build 28.35243. If you're in on the change, you'll see a new video off button at the top of the full screen video player. Selecting it turns on the audio only mode, leaving you with a blank screen showing all playback controls, including the scrub bar, forward and backward speed, and so on. Even the brightness slider remains available. There's also a new audio-only option in settings. Selecting it opens a pop-up menu that lets you choose when you want to use the mode, always on, headphones, or external speakers, and off. The mode is ideal for blind and low vision users. Just switch to audio description under audio and subtitles when available. It might take a while until the audio-only mode rolls out to your account. The only thing you can do is try to keep your Netflix app updated. So check if you've got the latest version installed on the Play Store. Posted November 16th on Cool Blind Tech, Navilens is being tested for visually impaired bus riders in New York. The MTA in New York is testing a new app that will allow visually impaired bus riders to find stops and learn arrival times. Navilens uses an algorithm to translate visual signage into audio. That helps customers to determine the location of the nearest bus stop and find out when the next bus will arrive. It also lets them know how crowded each bus is. I'd like to describe blindness as a non-visual approach to a visual world, and if we all work together and consider one another's needs, a day like today is a great step at leveling the playing field for all of our city's citizens, said Gian Padula of NYCT Advisory Committee on Transit Accessibility. Navilens is being tested along the M23 Select Bus Service route in Manhattan. Buses on the route make stops near three locations serving blind and low-vision New Yorkers. This one seems like it's straight out of a sci-fi novel. Sound Beamer beams audio straight to your head. Posted November 16th. Who developed this technology and how does it work? Developed by the Israeli company Novito Systems, Sound Beamer 1.0 is a device that beams sound directly to a user's ears through the use of 3D sensing technology. The audio pocket created around the ears allows the user to hear the sounds in their head. Can others hear the audio as well? Others in the user's immediate surroundings will not be able to hear any of the audio currently being beamed, and the user will also be able to clearly hear their own surroundings. Now, you won't be subject to someone else's music, conversations on speakerphone, or hear any sound bleeding out of someone's headphones if you are near them. You can also listen to music while working without fear of missing conversation that is happening around you, unless you're too absorbed by whatever it is you're listening to, of course. Most people just say, wow, I really don't believe it. Sound Beamer product manager Ayana Wallwater told the Associated Press, who received a desktop prototype in advance of the product's launch on Friday, November 13th. You don't believe it because it sounds like a speaker, but no one else can hear it. It's supporting you, and you're in the middle of everything. It's happening around you. Do you have to be stationary to listen to the Sound Beamer? Wallwater continued, you don't need to tell the device where you are. It's not streaming to one exact place. It follows you wherever you go. So it's personally for you, follows you, plays what you want inside your head. When is the Sound Beamer available for consumers? A consumer-ready product is expected to be released by December of 2021. Learn more at the Novito Systems website. That's spelled N-O-V-E-T-O Systems. There's an article written by Donna Kimball for the Blind Post called A Sunflower for Christmas. Many years ago, when I worked in the training department for Cal Fire, our district office had been through a few tragedies, one being the loss of life of a staff member. During this difficult time, I felt that planting sunflowers along the fence that separated my building from the firehouse might be an encouragement to the other employees and for myself, as I was also feeling a tremendous sense of sadness. I knew that in the hot climate of the mountain community where I worked, sunflowers would thrive. After planting the seeds along the fence, I still had two seeds left. Not wanting to waste those extra seeds, I hunted up a few old buckets outside the station and used them for planters. Although the sunflowers planted in the ground had sprung up very quickly and were soon over 6 feet tall, the two plants in the buckets had not done well and eventually had ended up relocated behind my office building and were forgotten. Everyone loved the sunflowers, and their happy, cheerful faces turning to follow the sun brought a lot of joy to all of the employees. I was very pleased to look through my office window and enjoy the delight that people would get when they saw the beautiful sunflowers. Unnoticed by me, the two buckets with the extra sunflowers had been taken away. I figured that they had died and someone had just mercifully removed them. I was sad, but time passed and my memory of them had also passed. Several weeks later, I was talking with Jim, who worked in the warehouse, and he mentioned that he had moved the two sunflowers into the warehouse near his desk. He had felt bad for the flowers and wanted to give them a chance. He watered them, gave them plant food, and ensured that they were kept warm. I was very pleased, but by now it was the end of summer. The row of sunflowers planted in the ground were already spent and had taken down in preparation for the coming winter. I didn't really hold out any hope for the remaining two sunflowers. With most of the staff taking off time for Christmas, I pretty much was alone in the training office. The sadness of the work tragedies had dimmed with the coming season, and I was trying to move on. It wasn't easy, and as I drove into work on Christmas Eve morning, I was still feeling the loss and empty inside. As I pulled into my usual parking space and turned off the car engine, I happened to look across the parking lot at the warehouse. What? I had to take a closer look at the warehouse. I walked up to the large double doors of the building, and there, peeking out at me through a large glass window, was the big, beautiful, bright face of a sunflower. Apparently, when Jim had taken time off for Christmas, he had placed the sunflowers near the glass window where they would get sunlight. I felt tears slipping from my eyes as I smiled and laughed. Even in the midst of tragedy and loss, I felt that God was telling me that it was all right, and things would get better. As a sunflower turns its face to follow the sun, we as Christians should always turn our faces to follow God's sun. I will always remember the Christmas sunflower and the joy that it brought to me and my co-workers that difficult December. Tax season is coming. IRS services for the visually impaired. The Internal Revenue Service is pleased to inform you that we have updated information on IRS.gov regarding the Alternative Media Center, AMC, at https://www.irs.gov/forms-pubs/information-about-the-alternative-media-center. I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Happy New Year! Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.